Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast from Dwell Community Church. My name is Brad Default, and in these next four sessions, we are going to be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. And in this book, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, which is having lots and lots of crises, and he continually points them to one solution to many of their problems, is that they need to let the gospel influence their thinking and actions. As we go through, you're going to find many situations, many issues that are coming up with them where you might be surprised that the solution is they need to think about Jesus and the cross and his death and resurrection for us. So before we get ahead of ourselves, this is part one. This is the gospel applied. So what is the gospel? The word gospel simply means good news or good proclamation. In chapter 15, verse 3 of our book, 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead." So in this section, Paul's reviewing the message he brought to them when he first arrived in Corinth. He mentions our sins. Christ died for our sins. So you see right there, there's a little bit of bad news embedded into the good news. The Bible's very clear that each one of us has contributed to the sorry state of affairs in our world. This should be by our words, by our actions, and even, and maybe especially, by our inactions. So we have this issue between us and God. And so what God did is he entered humanity to help us. And this was not just as a teacher or a miracle worker, but he came in the form of Jesus Christ to die in our place. Romans chapter 3 says that this was a sacrifice of atonement. I know there's some vocabulary there. What that means is it's a payment-making death. And that this rescue, this him dying for us to rescue us, is a gift that we receive by faith. The idea is that he died in our place in the sense that we had guilt on us. And when he died on the cross, he took that on himself so that we could be forgiven. And so this offer of rescue, of forgiveness, of eternal life, it is a gift, literally a grace, to use biblical terminology. Those are identical concepts because grace means gift. They're the same word in the original Greek of the Bible. It's a gift that we receive by faith, which means trust. So when we put our trust in Christ, we say, "I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. I want that to count for me." Then it counts on our behalf. And then at that point, we become a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5, or we're born again, to use Jesus' term in John 3. Or in John 5, Jesus says we've crossed over from death to life. So with our sin paid for, we are now acceptable to God. So he brings us into an intimate relationship with him, and he seals that relationship by sending his Spirit to live in us. That's the good news. Paul brought that good news to the wild city of Corinth. People in the ancient world thought of Corinth the way that modern people would think of, say, Las Vegas. In this city, people came to Christ. They got in community with each other. And of course, all sorts of problems arose in those relationships. So Paul writes this letter to them. And the key idea in the book of 1 Corinthians is he's helping them see that they need to apply the good news that they heard to their thinking in day-to-day situations. Today, we're going to look briefly at chapter 1, verse 30, where he makes a broad statement about this. And then in the following three sessions, we're going to see how Paul uses the content of the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection to provide wisdom for day-to-day concerns, like serving others, social status, and even sexual ethics. So today we're going to focus on this one verse. It's in the middle of chapter 1 where Paul is saying that their problem is their wisdom, their way of thinking, their whole approach to life that doesn't factor in this incredible thing that Jesus did for them. Here's our verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become our wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. At the beginning of this verse, it said, it's because of God that you are in Christ. So this is saying our rescue, our salvation, our eternal life is completely God's doing, that we are saved by grace. It is a free gift. At the end of this verse, it mentions these three things that Christ is for us. It says he is our righteousness. What does it mean that Christ is our righteousness? Righteousness means our standing before God. What happens when we receive Christ, when we are in Christ, his standing applies to us. He took away our sin at the cross, and he gives us his righteousness in our place. So our position before God is established on something that Jesus did, not on the good things that we do, which is a good thing because we don't quite measure up. This also said he is our holiness. Holiness in Scripture means separate unto God. So this is saying we're not just brought into a state of innocence, into a state of blessing or goodness. We are brought to God himself. This is way better. God is the source of all good. Anything else good God would give us, it's just a little bit of a reflection of him, who he is. But what we get from God is the source of goodness. This also said he is our redemption. To redeem someone means to purchase their freedom. Jesus sets us free in so many ways. There's dozens of ways we could consider the good news applied to us as a setting us free. So with all that being true, this means that Christ ought to be our wisdom. Remember, back to our verse, it said Christ has become our wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. This means that our salvation informs the way that we think. This is what Paul is arguing in the first chapter. Their problem that's at the root of all their problems and their relationships and their behavior is that they are not thinking of themselves as being in Christ. If they would just understand and remember and focus on what Jesus has done for them, the price that he paid, the incredible impact in their lives in an ongoing way, it would change everything about the way that they think. In Dennis McCallum's excellent book, Walking in Victory, he describes this kind of thinking with an illustration about a destitute orphan who was adopted by a rich, loving family. That child would need to start thinking differently, and it would probably be difficult. How do you get used to having all your needs taken care of? You don't need to steal anymore, for example. You would need to adjust to this new, rich, well-provided-for life. That's what we need to do. Our wisdom needs to be about what Jesus has done for us. In Bill Lawrence's excellent book, Effective Pastoring, he describes this with the term abundance thinking, and he contrasts that with deficit thinking. That would be where we're not factoring into our real lives the riches that we have in Christ. We think of ourselves as limited in terms of ability and power and time and resources. So what does it look like to apply the gospel to a specific situation, to have Christ be our wisdom? Well, first things first, before Jesus can be our wisdom, we need to make sure he really is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And that happens when we put our trust in Jesus. So what you need to do first is make sure that you have made this decision personally to receive Christ's grace for yourself. For more resources like this, visit dwellcc.org.